Couple weeks ago, I mentioned that strange and diabolical transformation of the Grinch from nothingness to evil. Well, today, that transformation reverses itself. But it doesn't stop at nothingness. It blows way past that. It doesn't even stop at goodness. It blows past that as well. It goes all the way to extreme goodness. This Grinch's transformation was extreme, from extreme grinchiness to extreme generosity. The Grinch has finally become the person, and I use that term loosely, that God has intended for him to be. Good, generous, kind, loving, giving, created in the image of God, restored to the image of God, thanks be to God. Can a cartoon character be created in the image of God? Well, not usually, but when that cartoon character parallels the human experience, then let's give him a little grace. He has been created and restored in the image of God. We're all made in that image. We fall from that image. And we are restored to that image by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Transformation is at the heart of this story. As a matter of fact, transformation is at the heart of the Christmas story. Transformation is at the heart of the Bible from beginning to end. I'm getting feedback on the mics. Do you need me to stand somewhere else? Would it be better if I go somewhere else? Okay. Don't answer that. I'll try this. If I keep getting it, maybe I'll go to the pulpit to see how that goes. So, all right. Yes, transformation, the heart of the gospel. I once was lost, but now am found, of course, as the old hymn goes. Peter, to his letter to the churches, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Born in the image of God. Any story of transformation is a story about the gospel. And that's good news because it gives us hope. Hope in what? Hope in the longing of all people and all hearts from the beginning. Hope in the victory of goodness over evil. Hope in the victory of light over darkness. Hope in the victory of life over death. In God's kingdom, death doesn't get the last word. Evil doesn't get the last word. Sin doesn't get the last word. Despair doesn't get the last word. Light and life and goodness get the last word. The life-giving news of the gospel is that it's never too late to start over. You don't have to live tomorrow like you lived today. Remember the Grinch in his sleigh up on the top of Mount Crumpet? They were teetering on the edge, about to fall, but they never did. It's never too late. You can always come back. You can always return. You can always make something right, even if you feel like you've gone too far and you're right on the edge of sin, or you're right on the edge of disaster, or you're right on the edge of everything come crumbling down. Turn around and go back. Return to God. It's never too late. Everyone and everything can be restored to the image of God. This is the story that the Grinch celebrates, transformation. Well, what was wrong with that poor old Grinch? You remember? Well, no, we don't, because we were never told. We're never told why. We're only told how the Grinch stole Christmas. Someone reached out to me this past week and was asking about the Jim Carrey version of the Grinch, which I've seen. And they were asking me, and they said, don't you feel like the Who's had some responsibility in this whole thing? Because in that version, it is the Who's who are behaving badly. They're teasing and bullying the Grinch, and they turn him into the monster that he becomes, like Frankenstein. Well, of course, in that version, the Who's have a lot of responsibility, if not all the responsibility, in what went wrong with the Grinch. But that's not the original story, and that's not the story that we're following here in this sermon series. I love Jim Carrey's facial expressions and how distorted and contorted they get. It's brilliant. But the storyline is as contorted and distorted as his facial expressions, and so the one we are talking about is the original Grinch, in which there's no evidence that the Whos did anything at all to the Grinch. Maybe nothing happened to the Grinch. Maybe the Grinch was just a Grinch. But thanks be to God, it matters not anymore what the Grinch was. It only matters what the Grinch has become. So we know how the Grinch stole Christmas. How did he give it back? Well, ironically now, how is diminished, because it just happens so fast in three sentences in the book. Next thing you know, he zips down the mountain, puts everything back, and next thing you know, he's carving the roast beast. How is diminished, but now why is enhanced. Isn't that interesting? In the transformation, why is important. Why? Because of the gift of love. Because of the gift of song. Because of the power of singing, the power of community, the power of a deeper and abiding and uniting love, a love that's not conditional, a love that doesn't love as the world loves, but a love that loves beyond what the world loves, a love that can only come from God, a love that's not based on this world, a love that's based on the next. And all of this beautifully illustrated by the power of joining hands in community, sisters and brothers joining together and raising their voices above the pain and the hurt of this world. We recognize that story, right? That's our story. That's the church. Dr. Seuss intentionally made it a secular story, intentionally didn't name the church and Christianity, but we recognize it, people of faith. We know that's our story, and that's what we do when we are being the church, the best at what we can be. We raise our voices, our joy rises to the top above the din of the world. Did you notice how big the Grinch's heart grew back? Three sizes. Do you remember that? Three sizes. How small was it to begin with? Two sizes. Two sizes too small, three sizes too big. Transformation goes beyond. Which reminds me of the Zacchaeus story in the Bible, that tax collector who was cheating everybody and profiting unfairly, his own friends and the poor and people who could least afford it. Jesus called him, met with him, had dinner with him, loved him. He was so moved by this act of love that his heart was transformed, that anybody could love him, but especially that Jesus could love with him, and his heart was transformed. I believe it grew, it must have grown four sizes, because the Bible says Zacchaeus paid back four times what he had stolen from everybody else. Extreme transformation equals extreme generosity. Zacchaeus, Ebenezer Scrooge, the Grinch, we're all hearing the same story. The transformation, it is the heart of the gospel. Zechariah, another biblical figure whose life was transformed. He was the father of John the Baptist. We read about him in Luke 1, along with Elizabeth, his wife, and their baby, John the Baptist. He was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. When he found out from the angel Gabriel that his wife was with child, or could be with child, he didn't believe it. And as punishment, the Lord closed his mouth for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now maybe some of you are thinking, get my husband to be quiet for the duration of my pregnancy? That sounds pretty darn good. Sign me up. Zechariah learned his lesson. Eventually, when John was born, his voice was restored. Life began anew, new hopes, new dreams for the coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah was transformed when he saw what the Lord could do, and his heart sang out and sang the song that Bob read for us. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant, David. What makes your heart sing? What makes your heart feel like it is just increasing in size and warming and overflowing with goodness? A couple weeks ago, somebody posted on our neighborhood Facebook page that they were going through the drive-thru at the McDonald's, and the drive-thru person let them know that their meal had already been paid for by a car in front of them, not just one or two cars ahead of them, but 45 cars ahead of them. She was the 45th person in line. How much longer was that going to go? I don't know. She didn't say. I would love to know. But that is extreme generosity. At least 45 happy people with their happy meals out the door. What would inspire that kind of generosity? Someone with a big heart. Someone who's been touched by the Christmas spirit. Someone who knows the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe somebody who's even personally experienced the transforming love and the transforming power of our God. Generosity makes my heart sing. God's grace makes my heart sing. I can share a tiny, tiny example from this past week. I was late in returning a book to the Bel Air Library. You know what the book was? How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I'd read it before, but I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything. I had to go into the children's section to get it out. I felt kind of silly doing it because I didn't have any kids with me, and there I am checking out How the Grinch Stole Christmas from the... And then I felt the need to explain myself to the checkout person as if they don't care, you know, just take your book and enjoy. So they gave me about a month to read it, which is, I can probably handle a Dr. Seuss book in a month. On the day that I had to return it, something came up. Forget that I could have returned it early. I just had to wait till that day that I had to return it, and then something came up. And then I ended up being late. Well, then I thought, well, now I'm going to have to go in and explain myself again to this person. I just girded up, and I decided I was going to pay the fine and just cut my losses. Well, I went in there, and I talked to the person. They said, no fine. What? No fine. Your fine has been waived. No explanation. I didn't even think to ask why not, but the library is not collecting fees right now. My heart sang out. The fine was only going to be 20 cents, by the way, but 20 cents makes my heart cry out. And I walked out of that library feeling so good, I could feel my heart expanding, 20 cents worth. 1/5 the size of what it was before. That's how I felt it expand. What makes your heart sing? What fills your heart with grace? There's one other piece of this whole story that I'd really be remiss if I didn't share with you. Forgiveness. The story doesn't mention forgiveness, but it's there. I need to stand over here for a second because my feeling a little bit weak, so pardon me just a second. I'm just going to stand and hold on to here. I'm okay. The story doesn't mention the word forgiveness, but the forgiveness is there. Forgiveness is the crowning moment. The entire story hinges upon it, and yet somehow it's just assumed. But imagine someone breaking into your home at night, the night before Christmas, stealing all your stuff. Would you be so quick to forgive as the Hoover? Even if he put all the stuff back and made it right, would you be so quick to forgive? Would you be ready to let him into your home? Would you accept him as part of the community? Would you accept him at your family table? Would you even let him carve the roast beef? Probably not. Probably not. Most people wouldn't. But it's possible.
It's possible because God says it's possible. It's possible because God shows us that it's possible. In God's love, in the person of Jesus Christ, God demonstrates that it's possible. And in God's Holy Spirit, we see generosity, grace, and forgiveness born anew each day. And because of that, my heart sings, and your heart sings, and our hearts together are grown tremendously. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.